Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Good morning, Canada. Welcome to the RP Show and Canadian sports fans around the world. Don't mind me that I can't look you in the eye. I'm just sharing the show to all our various Facebook groups. And away we are. I am the host, Rod Peterson. He's the co-host, Aaron Dupont. How you doing, Dupes?
I'm doing well.
It's been a fun day educating the young.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
We got a couple of youngsters. Alan, the intern, and his brother, Greg, the blank.
Yeah, we got to come up with something.
I said, if you're going to stick around here, Greg, we're going to put you to work, just like your brother. They never watched Jerry Maguire. Hard to believe, I know.
Yeah.
So we're trying to educate them in Show Me the Money. The reason we're talking about it is because Super Agent Lee Steinberg, the original Super Agent Lee Steinberg, will be on the show today. Real nice, Clark. Nice job getting Lee Steinberg on. As well as Justin Duck, Chuck Kurtai, and Joe Whitbread. Some of those guys will need an introduction to you, and we'll introduce them to you a little later on. But the big ones, Justin Duncan, Lee Steinberg, and you'll get to know those other fellas a little later on. Are you having a good day today?
I'm having a great day. Yeah.
So am I. It's game day, CFL sim day. It's in my quick six show topics, which we're getting to quickly. Game day in Hamilton, CFL sim, sunny. Mainly sunny, 24 degrees Celsius at Tim Hortons Field tonight as we get ready to broadcast the sim on this Facebook Live channel.
Yeah, perfect conditions. You called it a Grey Cup preview. I mean,
it is.
You got two teams. I mean, Saskatchewan was right on the brink of getting to the Grey Cup last year. Hamilton's got the super team. I mean, I was going through some game prep last night.
So was I.
That defense is scary.
It's stout.
In Hamilton.
They've got more guys to start than have spots.
Yeah.
In Hamilton. So we're excited about that game. And I guess let's get rolling with the quick six show topics here and the rollout for Flooring Superstore. Thank you, Jordan. I haven't even seen Jordan yet, but I can hear he's here because he's firing off the horns.
Oh, yeah.
The number one show topic, the Riders revealing a grim reality last night. Did you see that it was going around like wildfire that they could will lose $10 million if they don't play in 2020? Business people saying, how's that going to happen? Well, it was all laid out in the news articles that we saw last night, and the AGM was last night. So we'll come around on that. There may be a theme through the program, but I will say this. I wasn't shocked by it. A million people in this province, millions in the Rider Nation seem shocked by it. I thought a casual observer would know that if they don't play games, they're in a lot of trouble. If your revenue is here and your expenses are here, and boom, goes your expenses, you're in big doo-doo.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a ton of cash left. They're going to run out of money by the end of September if they don't get financial aid. I, as you know, have been accused of fake news and fear-mongering by people. I've been saying for months, this is it, boys. They're at death's door unless something happens. And it was revealed last night. The curtain was ripped back, and everybody was like,
now so, you're surprised?
Yeah, now you're surprised? You couldn't take my word for it? So I'm as shocked that people are shocked as I am that this is the grim reality facing the Rough Riders. But if they are the league juggernaut financially, which is what the notion is, what's it say for the other eight teams? How much trouble are they in?
I know. The only thing I can hope for them is that their expenses are a lot lower because they're not used to bringing in the same amount of revenue. So maybe the losses might be smaller, but it's not a good situation.
Janelle Barkman writes in. She says, I'm standing in line outside SGI so my daughter can take her written test, but still watching. Oh, it's her written test. Okay. Do you remember your actual driving test?
Yeah.
My brother, who's probably listening right now, took me to Weyburn for my first driver's test, and I sped right out of the gate. Like, we left the SGI office, got on the highway leading into Weyburn, and the guy goes, you already failed. You sped.
What?
Yeah. And he goes, but you just keep going. We'll see how you do the rest of the way. Took me three cracks. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's a famous SGI tester guy.
Whoa.
And I failed. I just felt this big. It's not unusual.
Yeah, I suppose.
Point two, Henry goes off on our Twitter poll today. This is on me. This is on me, Hank. And we're going to bring Monty from Saskatoon in on this discussion. So I put up the poll question first thing this morning for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center. Who is the quarterback of the decade for the 2010s in the CFL? Ricky Ray or Bo Levi? I kind of thought yesterday we settled on those two. Well, Henry Burris goes off that he wasn't included in the poll to the point where he's not speaking to me. I don't know. I go by the ring is the thing. So I amended the poll and redid it, and you see the results up here right now. The public will decide, because this is a free country that we live in. Ricky Ray leads the poll with 54%. Bo Levi Mitchell, 22%. Hank, 17%. Mike Riley, 8%. I go by Grey Cups only. And Clark rallied, producer Clark rallied to Hank's defense. He's like, he won the MVP, did this. He had these all-star nominations. I don't care. It's ships. End of story. And the fact that Ricky Ray never lost a Grey Cup and won two probably anoints him the quarterback of the decade. We discovered yesterday that Bo Levi won two but lost two. I mean, it's not as good as Ricky Ray, but it's better than everybody else. And Hank won only one Grey Cup in the decade. His other Grey Cup was in 08, not the decade. I'm not sure if Henry's confusing that. One thing I've noticed with this CFL poll, which they invited me to vote on, and thanks again, CFL, for doing that, is I don't think even the players understand the criteria. It's from 2011 or 2010 to 2019. That's it. See what I'm... You get that?
Of course. It's the decade, but, you know, we're clouded by the whole body of work. That's why around here, you'll hear Darian's name pop up, right? And, you know, didn't do most of the work in that decade. I don't know. You'll hear all the great quarterbacks, right? You think of their whole body of work, not what they did in this decade. And, I mean, Hank's great for a long time. His body of work in his career speaks for itself. But
he's going to the Hall of Fame. But we're
in the 10 years, it's a much different conversation. And Ricky Ray, I think, rightfully so, is leading that poll.
So Henry Burris, to quote Monty in Saskatoon,
get over it.
Get over it, Henry.
But I love that they're passionate about it.
Well, it's what the CFL wanted, and that's what they got.
Yep.
And by the way, it doesn't hurt my feelings that Henry doesn't want to talk to me. I hope that he does come back. We've been very close friends for 20 years. It's probably what's got him to the Hall of Fame, or what will get him to the Hall of Fame, is that competitive fire. But just look at the numbers. It makes me cry for Darian Durant that the Riders can't count. It cost him two championships as a starter, but that's the way that it is. History will show that. That's why we were so devastated at the time and continue to be. Point three, the NFL Hall of Fame game canceled that featured America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's been canceled. It's led to speculation that the entire NFL season will be canceled. And I'm kind of getting sick of the roller coaster. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
One day up, next day down. One day up, next day down. Roger Goodell can't make a decision any more than Randy Ambrosi can. So the plan's to go. The NFL's got a little more runway than the CFL and certainly a lot more cash. But does the cancellation of the Canton game signal no season? They're telling me it doesn't, but it wasn't fun news to wake up to today.
No, it's not fun. And it sucks to get the bad news and realize it's not going to happen, but it sucks even worse hanging on that roller coaster. Is it going to happen one day? Is it not going to happen the next day? And you're up and then you're down, you're up, then you're down. And then to finally get the news that it's not going to happen is even worse. Yeah, it's great if you can find a way to pull the season out, but you just want to know one way whether it's happening or not.
Can you put that comment up from Wayne and Victoria, by the way? I know he's a super guy. He's one of our biggest fans. Wayne Grollo. This is what annoys me. He goes, I didn't think about rings before 2010. How come Anthony Calvillo is not on the list? Dude! Look at what Anthony Calvillo did in the 2010s. Virtually nothing other than getting injured here at Taylor Field on a sack by Ricky Foley. He never played again. Come on. It's the 2010s, 2010 to 2019. Anthony Cavill was a non-factor by then. That's what we're talking about right now.
The first decade, different story.
2000 to 2009, Anthony's winning it going away. It's not even a discussion. But I... Listen. What's wrong with me? Woosa. People got to listen. Can we put up the comment from Trent in Norway, please? He always puts me in a good mood. They're trying to find it. Norway calling. You're right about the ring is the thing. Even though Henry Burris won two Grey Cups, the calendar wins here because of the question. Too bad about no Hall of Fame place for Theron Fleury. I sense the NFL will not have a season. Stay well, everyone. Thoughts from Norway checking in from across the pond. To point four, he brought up Theo. Hockey Hall of Fame leftovers, the class yesterday. Sure, why not? I'm not going to throw dirt on the careers of anybody that was inducted into the Hall of Fame yesterday. Do I believe Theo should be there? Yes. People were saying Theo was with the Flames in the 90s when they never got out of the first round. Iggy was there too. Don't go there. Doug Wilson, why not? But if you're going to put in guys with careers like that, you're just beefing up the argument that Theo should be in. And Ken Holland is a natural, obviously, with what he did in Detroit. What did you think of the Hall of Fame? No Alfie.
No McGillney, who I think could probably be in there. The Hall is fine. I think the class was good. There's some people that are talking about Kevin Lowe, and he doesn't have the points. That there's guys now that have more points than he did in his career that are currently playing, and they played less games. But it's not always about points. I didn't watch the Oilers. I didn't grow up watching them in that era. That was before my time. But to be part of those teams, I don't have an argument with anybody who was selected into the Hall of Fame right now.
That's how could you?
How could you, right? They're all worthy, for sure.
Point five, Vince Carter retires. That was just announced this morning, yeah. The great VC. We could talk about Vince memories. The Lee boys, will you have Vince Carter memories? You must.
Oh, yeah.
Mine is the All-Star game. We were watching it in a hotel room, I think in Medicine Hat, as a staff, hockey staff, and it was when Vince did the 360 dunk,
yeah.
And then he went, it's over.
It's over.
And it was over. That's what I will always remember Vince Carter for, and I use the GIF regularly.
Yeah.
It's over. So was us talking about Vince Carter. As we move on to point six, I knew I had to speed it up here a little bit because my sixth topic is week three and the CFL sim season kicks off tonight at Tim Hortons Field, as we mentioned, Saskatchewan and Hamilton. Now, I've got people writing me, and I don't know how I feel about this because you know my stance on betting. I'm not anti-betting, but I don't bet for a variety of reasons. As a matter of fact, people like my stories, so here's one. Never really got into betting. If I was going to put $2 on a blackjack hand, I'd rather spend $2 on a cup of coffee. I'll enjoy it more.
Yeah.
But I was sitting in Hooters Hotel and Casino, the Mecca, and I was playing blackjack, and I had $75 on a hand. It might have been booze-infused. And I won. Well, all of a sudden, ding, 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 these things fired off in my head. And my wife saw that look in my eyes that she'd seen before. And she grabbed me off the stool and said, we're out of here. And I'm like, I just won. She's like, that's the point. See what I mean?
Yeah.
Gambling sets off all those same little things that all the other, for people like me. So I just don't do it. But I'm not against it. If you want to and you can do it responsibly, it's not my fault, not your fault that I couldn't. So that's why I don't know how I feel about people betting on the CFL sim games because I got. Do I want this? I got people writing me saying, "Are you guys keeping James Wilder in after he retired yesterday? Because it's going to affect our betting moving forward in your sim schedule." I'm like, "You've got to be kidding me! It's great, but maybe it's not so great. I don't know."
I think it's awesome. I do not want to be held responsible because you don't like the way Cody Fajardo in the sim is. Okay, I'm okay if you want to bet on it.
That's the point.
But don't at me. Don't come at us if you don't think that he measures up to real life Cody Fajardo or insert your favorite player from your team here. That's when we've gone too far.
But how do you dictate that? Because that could very easily happen, you know. And the people that do understand the computer simulations, like the guys that are texting me, understand the results are in no way rigged. We don't know who's going to win any more than you do.
No,
that's what makes the games fun. Or our VP of Sim Events, Nelson Hackowitz. The only thing he said he was going to do was tweak some of the settings to have more offense.
Yeah.
For week three. But it doesn't mean that you know what's going to happen in the games. It's very exciting. So moving forth, you guys can help us here too, by the way, Gregory and Alan, the interns. Let's put them to work. Let's teach them how to bet. Do you know how to bet? Not really. Okay, well, it's time you learned. Saskatchewan and Hamilton, we were kicking this one around. Riders 1-0, Ticats 1-1, Ticats are at home. And by the way, my line for the Riders game last week was Saskatchewan by 6.5. They won by 5. You had Saskatchewan by 5.5, and they won by. So I'm thinking you're a little better at this than me. But I'm thinking Hamilton opens 3.5 favorites.
Yeah, I was going to say 4.5 or 5.5,
really?
Just because of how.
Let's split it
complete
then.
There. Yeah.
Hamilton, 4.5 point favorites tonight. Calgary at Winnipeg on Friday Night Football. The Blue Bombers 1-0, the Stampeders 2-0. I'm thinking Calgary's going in there favored by 2.5 points.
I could get behind that.
Could you?
Yep. Yep, I can get behind
that. Well, this was easier than I thought it would be. By the way, our VP of Sim Events, Nelson, wrote in and says, with James Wilder Jr., if there was a season, he wouldn't have retired. Thus, he has to stay in the sim. That's what we came up with yesterday. So James Wilder will continue throughout the season with the Alouettes simulated computer season. Judy McDonald says, how do the sim games work? Is one person doing this or two? I don't understand what the question is. We're all doing it. It's a team. But Nelson has inputted the players into the computer. Well, I guess one guy's doing it.
Nobody's playing.
That's nobody's playing.
Nobody's controlling the players. That's all done automatically by the computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. There's no human element to the results.
Right.
And then Saturday night, it's the BC Lions home opener at BC Place Stadium. I might have to put on my BC shirt today. With the Edmonton Eskimos in town, Scott Milanovich is 2-0. Evil Empire taking on Rick Campbell's 0-2 BC Lions. Well, I think BC will win straight up. Edmonton going in there is probably 2.5.
Yeah, I was going to say 2.5 or 3.5. So, yeah, Edmonton has to be considered the favorite.
Brian Snow checking in. Holy smokes, he's in the Carolinas already. Good morning, Snowman.
That was quick.
Brian Snow checking in. He's moved from Indy to Carolina. Thank you for the shout-out, Snowman. He's doing some great work over there.
Is
check him out, snowmaninthemorning.com. That's the quick six show topics that we'll weave throughout the day. Again, coming up today, Justin Dunk, Chuck Kurtai, Lee Steinberg, and Joe Whitbread. Yesterday's rock star of the day was Brett Kissel. Probably a surprise to nobody. He was great. Country sensation. Oh, and by the way, we've got Alex Runyon's performing live at halftime tonight. RP Show Summer Concert Series. That's Alex Runyon's live set at halftime today, 5 p.m. kickoff on this channel.
Told us he's going to play his new song.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
He actually posted that on his Instagram, and I think he had a little poll under what other song he should play.
Oh, good.
So taking fan votes on Alex Runyon's Instagram feed.
Jason Wall writes, this is checking in from Winnipeg Beach. Hi, Jason. Boy, it just sounds nice. Winnipeg Beach is beautiful. He's got the Bombers home to the Stamps tomorrow. How do you feel about our line, Jason? Stampeders favored by 2.5 going into IG Field for the Bombers home opener.
Ooh, they're getting their virtual rings tomorrow night.
Ooh. All right. Big day.
And I want to say this. I haven't been watching a lot of KBO, and I asked myself why. Doesn't mean I haven't been following the stats, because your team won last night.
They did.
And Clark's team beat mine. The Bears beat the Wyverns 14-6. The Wiz lost 3-1, Jordan. I'm sure you knew that, to the Dinos. But I'm going to tell you, NASCAR and horse racing have just competed for my attention and won. Like, the race car people have been reaching out. The harness racing people have been reaching out for the pub. Maybe that's why it's tugged me in that direction. You got to fight for your space in this world right now as a sports entity. And the KBO and baseball isn't winning for me.
That's fair.
You?
No, that's fair. Yeah, I'm totally not there either. I'm I'm getting into the, you know, the sports docs and things like that, and trying to, you know, follow
learning.
Where I can. Learning, yeah, and having some fun. Long gone summer. You PVR'd it, right? Sosa, McGuire, the 30
I couldn't. For 30. I didn't. I went to go find it. So, I don't have it.
So the secret now, I figured this out. I think it just happened within the last week or two. TSN now on their website has the section for docs. And if you've got it on your package at home, you can sign in and watch them all.
Every one of them.
I blew it right up on the TV. It was really, really good.
That specific one?
That specific one was really good.
Long gone summer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Justin Dunk's next. Is he ready, guys? They tell us that he is. Justin Dunk with CFL News coming down the pipe next. It's the RP Show, and this has been the rollout for Flooring Superstore. You're watching on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions is Saskatchewan's only full-service supply chain company. Strategic sourcing, PO creation, and order expediting, VMI and vending solutions, and free delivery are just a few of the supply chain services we provide. If your company needs it, Rockstar Supply Chain Solutions can get it for you. Price, quality, service, Rockstar Supply Chain Solution is helping Saskatchewan companies buy better.
IKS Live. IKS Live. Western Canada's premier production services company. LED sign rentals. Video production. Event management. Look no further than IKS Live. Visit our website, IKS Live. Always the best seat in the house. IKS Live.
To the 16 guys who never back down, and to the smooth, refreshing beer with a real beer taste. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Just ahead of Justin Dunk, a sports update on this Thursday morning. The NFL has canceled the Hall of Fame game that traditionally opens the preseason and is delaying the 2020 induction ceremonies for a year because of the pandemic. The August 6th game in Canton, Ohio, between the Dallas Cowboys and Pittsburgh Steelers is the first on-field event the league has canceled. It'll be played on August 5th, 2021, with the same teams. Enshrinements for 10 men scheduled for August 8th will now occur on August 7th, 2021. The Canadian Elite Basketball League, this is breaking news this morning, by the way, has announced, that's the CEBL, has announced plans to hold a tournament in St. Catharines, Ontario, starting next month. The league said today in a release that all seven of its teams will participate in the event at the Meridian Center, which is scheduled to start with training camps opening July 15th. Subject to the status of Ontario's reopening plan, the winner of the round-robin competition will be declared the 2020 CEBL champion. This is single elimination, March Madness style.
Oh,
it's exciting.
Spicy.
Teams from Ottawa, Hamilton, Guelph, Edmonton, Saskatchewan, and Fraser Valley will join the hometown Niagara River Lions for the opening of each team's training camp. The opening date of competition would be July 25th. This sports update for the Tap Brewhouse and Liquor Store. We are open. Stop in today at the corner of Rossdale and Pasco. We will be because we're getting pizza there for the sim tonight, right?
Oh, yeah.
Pre-game media room meal, pizza from the Tap. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Let's go out on video chat now. The CFL's top insider from 3downnation.com, Justin Dunk, joins us today. JD, how are you, my friend?
Keeping well, fellas. What about you guys out on the prairies?
Well, actually, we're great. It's hot there. Torrey Gurley's flying in. He's coming. He's landing and coming straight to the studio. So we're excited about that big weekend with TG. So, hey, things could be a lot worse. And Justin, there's a lot of people that have chimed in with questions for you already from the viewers. So I can't wait to get to those. But for you, what's the latest in the CFL world as we sit here today?
Well, guys, to be honest, I was hoping that I might have some new news to report in terms of a season. But depending on people who you talk to throughout the league, it's all over the place. There are people that feel like there's a hub city model that could be on the verge of potentially going forward. And then you talk to people on the other side, and they say that potentially the league office or various teams across the league are hoping that it gets to a point from a safety standpoint that they could actually play games in their home stadium. So it seems to be split across the league, which is part of the issue you have in terms of formulating a singular mindset and a plan to at least give the players some idea of when a season could possibly take place in 2020.
Okay, well, now we can get into it because I see a lot of criticism to Randy Ambrosi where the players are saying and past players, Sam Hurl said it Friday, other leagues are coming back. Why is not the CFL? And my first take on that is let's wait till they actually come back first, until they actually hit the field. And then you can ask the CFL why they aren't. Because so far it's just a lot of conjecture in a lot of leagues. And two, the backlash at the commissioner, particularly James Wilder, saying, I can't wait for you any longer, CFL, I'm retiring. If Randy was forced in a decision today, Justin, it would be that the season's canceled because they don't know how they're going to play, right? If he's forced into making a decision today, he'll say, we're not playing. But he's trying to save the season. That's my read on it. What's yours?
Well, it might not even be his decision to make because he has nine owners or essentially bosses plus a board of governors to please, and that all have to be on the same page. That's the real difficulty here, is that you have a number of owners that have agreed and that would play in a hub city concept, the gigantic bubble that Randy Ambrosi has explained. You have other owners that want to play home games in their home stadium still, even at this point in the pandemic. So you just have all of these differing opinions, and it's very difficult for Ambrosi to be able to get them to come together so that he can ultimately come out publicly and make a decision. I do believe that there are some players, at least on the CFLPA, that understand the difficulty that Ambrosi is in because he has to please everyone and make sure everyone is on board from the board of governors and the owners before he can make a decision to move forward. So for as much backlash as there have been, and yes, the leadership by Ambrosi himself has been questioned, and I believe rightfully so, he's also in a very difficult position here. So to me, that's the main issue, but time is running out for the league overall, guys, to make a decision.
Well, yes, and one of our viewers, Garnet Elmer, writes in, he's a good man from North Battleford. He says, truth equals science. Trust Ambrosi and be patient. But I will respectfully say, when you haven't missed a paycheck through all of this, it's easy to say. You talk about times running out. There's no checks distributed to players. I said 3 months ago careers are going to end, and now they are, and people seem stunned. Like, James Waters giving up on his dream. So to be a government worker that hasn't missed a check, I'm sorry, you don't have the same pressures that a CFL player has right now, or a coach, because you're worried about the future of the league. So I guess on that, with the Wilder announcement yesterday that he's retiring, shouldn't have surprised anybody, Justin, but it seems to have taken a lot of people by surprise.
It really did, and that was surprising to me because you look at, let's say, your average CFL player salary is somewhere in and around $80,000 to $90,000. The quarterbacks are in their own stratosphere, but those guys are on a budget just like you, me, and everybody else, and they budget to the point where they're going to get to that first regular season game, which as in a quote normal year would be in June. So a lot of those players are feeling the pressure as to what do I do? You can see if you go to Darvin Adams on Instagram, the star Winnipeg Blue Bombers receiver, that he's gone into the home rental business, and it's something that he'll likely carry on after his career, but he's laying tile and doing renovations to make sure he has money coming in. And that guy is a player that is earning, you know, well north of six figures. He's probably in the $150,000 range. So across the spectrum, especially the low earning players, you're going to have them wondering, all right, what do I have to do literally to put food on the table, Roddy? And I think your point is well taken there. Even though your viewers want to see CFL football, you have to realize that if the checks aren't coming in, the players have to find some way to provide for their families.
Yes, and there are people that feel everybody should be treated equally. So if that's the case, start distributing checks to CFL players and they can wait as long as they want. And that has not happened yet. There's a lot of people across this country that doesn't want to see the CFL nor its players get government handouts. So what is your answer to that? That's what I would like to know. By the way, John in Winnipeg writes and he says, take a knee, CFL. Riders will lose $10 million this year. What about that shot that was heard across the Canada last night? The Riders announcing that if they don't play, they'll lose $10 million. And this is the biggest, grimmest financial situation the franchise has ever seen. Justin, did that resonate in your circles?
It did, and I hate to say it, but it was expected, right? And we've heard the numbers being bandied around that the league as a whole, all the teams combined together, if they don't play in 2020, the financial losses could total up to $100 million. So that makes a lot of sense when the Riders are saying we're bracing for this $10 million loss. It's a financial reality that these teams are accepting because there's essentially no revenues coming in. That means that you're just going to have mostly losses on your accounting book.
Well, one viewer in Edmonton, John, says, can you ask Justin how he feels about the CEBL coming back, but the CFL's not? You saw the CEBL announced its year-end tournament. There's a team in your backyard. Actually, a few teams in your backyard there. Justin, I look at that as completely different business models. The players aren't getting paid. The rosters are not to the degree of the CFL. The rosters are half the size. It's apples and oranges. How would you answer that question, though?
Agreed. Totally different. You look at the size of a basketball team, you know, you might have max 15 players and some coaches. And if you can create a bubble there in an area where the cases are really going down in St. Catharines, and even you get up into that Hamilton area too, I think that they can do it much more safely. You're talking about a football team in the CFL that hasn't even started training camp yet, right? So normally, you guys well know, you're bringing about 100 players, potentially, just players, to training camp to try to get down to your final roster. So even from that standpoint, you add up all of those CEBL teams, that's probably about the amount of players you're going to be bringing to St. Catharines for this tournament. So it's just two totally different situations. I get that there could be some frustrations, and some people have pointed to the Canadian Premier League, the soccer league that's only been in existence for 1 year, that they have a plan already to move forward. But again, there are much less moving parts and pieces there, especially the number of players.
Any buzz on the university sports front, by the way, Justin, because I'm hearing very little, and maybe this is what the university presidents and deans wanted. Oh, we'll just put up with the backlash at the start, then it'll go quiet, because that seems to be what's happened. What are you hearing?
What I've heard is that there are coaches throughout the country that are looking to, if they can in a safe manner, play exhibition games and at least keep their teams together and get some film, especially for those guys going into their draft years. And that the RSEQ is holding out hope that they can have a smaller, potentially regular season. I think ideally they would want to have an 8-game regular season because they have a TV deal in Quebec that actually nets those teams money. So they want to try to get on the field if they can safely. And if they need to, they'll go down to 5 games in the RSEQ. But obviously, it's still uncertain with what could happen with COVID-19.
Well, with Canada West, and you're a broadcaster out here in this conference, are they talking about all teams playing? And I ask because Jim Mullen was on here last week, president of Football Canada, saying if some teams play, but not every team, non-sanctioned games, it doesn't do the sport any good. What are you hearing about in Western Canada?
The University of Alberta has already said none of their athletics teams are going to play, so it necessarily wouldn't be every team. The one intriguing part that I heard is that, you know, Simon Fraser might look actually to get into some of these exhibition games because they would have difficulty crossing the border and coming back week in and week out to potentially play their schedule. So they're talking about it, but again, safety is going to be the number one priority.
Furthermore, John in Edmonton says, Justin Dunk is the man. He needs a podcast. And if he does, I haven't heard about it.
We used to have a Three Down Nation podcast that was running weekly. We are in the works of bringing it back, but we want to make sure that it's top notch and it's consistent. So Drew Edwards, who got the site started, has moved on to other things. A guy that taught me a lot, and we did the podcast every week. So we'll talk about getting it up and going again.
Sounds good. How is our boy Drew doing? I miss him.
He's doing well. I mean, it's too bad with COVID-19. He had some travel plans to go abroad with his family, more specifically his daughter, but those got shut down. So, I mean, he's happy and healthy in Guelph, but I mean, hopefully he can sort of take advantage of some of those travel plans once COVID clears, but who knows what's going to happen.
Oh, I know, but I think he was in Mexico, stranded in Mexico for a time when this hit, correct? Yeah.
He was, yeah, and the family got back and did the self-isolation and all that.
Our Alan, the intern, the Asian sensation, has a name for your podcast. Slam Dunk. What do you think?
I'm down with it, but I want it to be a little more hype, you know, because people are going to call me that anyways. They're going to say, hey, Slam Dunk. We maybe even play off the dunk a little bit, right?
Well, I like mine. CFL News runs on Duncan. I like it, man. Maybe sponsored by
That's what I'm talking about, a little play on words.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, JD, I'll see you in the press box tonight with Dupes for CFL Sim there at Tim Hortons Field.
Yeah, guys, I just want to get one more thing in quickly because the biggest story, I believe, of the week in Canadian football is Tavius Robinson, the University of Guelph defensive lineman, verbally committing to Ole Miss University. So he goes from Guelph to the SEC, but I wanted to get this nugget in just for you guys because what I have heard is that now that he's given the verbal commitment to Ole Miss, other SEC teams are jumping in. And from my sources, I've been told that LSU head coach Ed Orgeron has actually talked to, of course, on video chat, Tavius Robinson to try to sway his decision to get him go and join the Tigers down in the Bayou. It is an all-out slugfest for this Guelph native, a potential rising star in the SEC, guys.
There's nobody else better in America. The Tigers won the Natty last year. That's unbelievable. That is a big scoop. Are you going to have the details on Three Down?
Well, we had his verbal commitment, so it seems like he's sticking with it. But, I mean, when you have a guy like Ed Orgeron on the phone trying to convince you to come to the Bayou, national champs, all the guys they had drafted in the NFL draft, and he wants a kid from Guelph, Ontario, you better listen. And there's other SEC teams jumping in, too.
Wow. If you can understand him over Zoom. Can you imagine all that?
Go Tigers.
Go Tigers. All right. Thanks, Justin.
Cheers, guys. Stay safe out there.
Justin Dunk joining us. More scoops than Ben and Jerry's with Justin Dunk. You like that one, eh, Greg? Have you guys watched Jerry Maguire yet?
We need it on the couch, the camera.
Yeah, we get these guys. There's no way getting the camera on the interns, is there?
Hook up my phone.
That would be great. What'd you take out of that?
Oh, the Ole Miss story is interesting. And I wondered how many guys, they're all going to look for different opportunities and a chance to transfer down, potentially play in the States for a kid from Guelph. I mean, he's a beast, you know, big body, athletic, and now he's getting some real recognition. Probably the only one. I wondered if there might be a couple others that might work their way down. To be able to play some college ball. That's interesting. I love the fact that he really, really wanted to have news on the season, and he's been trying, but that's just how the communication hasn't been there, or there just is no news on a season happening or not happening, that there's just not, nobody knows. And that's, again, continues to be the frustrating part.
Janelle writes in from Saskatoon. She passed.
Woohoo!
Her daughter passed her SGI test. That's the first step. Hadn't got behind the wheel yet, it sounds like. Hey! We got one more driver on the road soon in good old Sasky.
That's for the learners, right?
Yeah.
I wrote the test in the library at the high school, and I have a prescription for glasses that I wear when I'm on the computer. But I remember doing the eye test, and I'm like, it's pretty fuzzy. And they were reading them through, and I'm like, read them out. 1, 6, 4. And then he cleared it up and moved it in closer, and they were letters, not numbers.
Whoa.
But I got away. I didn't have to have a restriction on my license or anything, so.
And you're driving.
And I'm driving.
You live to tell the tale.
Yeah, exactly.
Prairie Mobile text line, 306-840-8777. Hey, Rod, it's Brady. CEBL is coming back July 15th, I believe. Super excited. Still no announcements from the CFL, and I predict you'll see a lot more players either retire or start new jobs. Agreed, Brady. Zach in Calgary. Good morning, RP from Calgary. How are you guys this morning? How are we? I think we're good.
Great.
Hopefully the NFL doesn't cancel the season, and hopefully there's a VIP show trip. Have a great day, guys. I'm not sure Zach's even old enough to come on that trip. Do we have an age restriction?
I don't know if we officially do, but...
Believe me.
There should be.
Can he pay for it? We're not worried about... As long as his check clears, I don't care where the money comes from. Can he legally come with us?
Yeah.
I know he's not old enough to rent a car. Oh, Jer texts us and says, Oski wee wee. It's game day in Tiger Town. They're getting into it. They're watching in Hamilton. We'll take a timeout, and we're going to Pittsburgh to talk with the most notorious CFL fan in America's Steel Town, Chuck Curtis. An interesting story. Hang on. We'll be right back. It's the RP Show on this Thursday, episode number 263 of Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show. Continues after this. Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
At Suds, we make your car shine. It starts with our state-of-the-art wash system. Our NeoGlide wash material is safe and gentle on vehicles and buffs your finish to a brilliant shine. Plus, we hand-dry and inspect every vehicle for a top-quality result. I'm Kirby.
And I'm Natalie. Whether you're getting an exterior wash that takes 10 minutes or treating yourself to an interior cleaning, the result's going to be the same. Your vehicle's going to look great.
Suds Full Service Car Wash.
We'll make your car shine.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of The Rod Peterson Show.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Thanks for joining us for coffee this morning on the old RP Show. Coming to you from the sweatpants capital of North America. I appreciate the CFL News Twitter account tweeting that Justin Dunk live tweeting the Justin Dunk hit with us, and Justin said the average CFL salary is $80,000 to $90,000, and those guys are on a budget. A lot of those players are feeling the financial pressure. Somebody responds with the predictable, for discussion's sake, there are a lot of people who do not make $80,000 to $90,000 a year. What should be done for them? The average Canadian's salary, not football players, the average Canadian salary is $52,000. I think it's lower in America, the average salary.
Oh, yeah.
So there's... When we talk about the Riders disclosing last night, if they don't play, they're going to lose $10 million, and they're going to be out of money by the end of September if they don't get financial aid from somewhere. You understand that it's not a slam dunk that they're going to get federal aid, right? You folks understand that? This is the crisis that they're in. Now, the government might just write them a check and be damned with the people that don't like it. But governments do kind of tend to listen to the population.
They have.
That's what they do.
They need to get reelected.
So... Right? We're not out of the woods yet. On the poll question, by the way, for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center, who's the CFL quarterback of the decade for the 2010s? Henry Burris, Bo Levi Mitchell, Ricky Ray, or Mike Riley? Ricky Ray is leading by a smidge over Bo Levi Mitchell, and Henry Burris is still not talking to me for not including him in my initial poll. I'm sorry, Hank. As Monty in Saskatoon would say, please get over it.
You put Bo in, he won't talk to you anyway. You don't put Henry in, now he's not talking to you.
Nobody's talking to me.
What's Ricky Ray's status on all of this?
Don't confuse, by the way, Ricky Ray's dad bod and demeanor. That guy's a killer.
Really?
He's a killer.
I've never met him.
He's an assassin. All right, well, hopefully Chuck Kurtai will talk to us today. Pittsburgh's most famous CFL fan joins us today. Newest man in the blogosphere. How you doing, Chuck? Good to see you.
Hey, Rod, how you doing? Great to be on. I appreciate it.
Great to virtually meet you, and Darren DuPont part of this discussion as well. Chuck, listen, you're new on the scene to me. You're new on the scene to Canadians. Would you mind introducing yourself to our viewing audience today and why you are on the scene now?
Well, I've lived in the Pittsburgh area my whole life, and have been in print journalism for the past 29 years, mostly in sports, dabbled in a few other things. But so I'm, as to why I'm on the scene now, CFL-wise, I just started following it really last year, and just kind of, I guess I kind of took to it. I really enjoyed it when I started watching it seriously. I never really watched it before. I've had a few brief, if you want to say, CFL encounters over my career, but nothing substantial. So last year, I just kind of went all in and really got hooked and started a Twitter account where I could just talk about CFL with other CFL fans. And it's been great. I've had a great time with it. And all the CFL Canadian people have been really welcoming and all trying to recruit me to their team for sure.
Who's leading now? You said the toughest part of this interview today was deciding what to wear. You've gone with a very nondescript, what shall I say, I'm not a color guy, what was it,
charcoal,
but just
earth,
yeah, you're not leading
tone, brown,
yeah, yeah, thing. Earth tones.
Yeah.
So clearly you haven't chosen your colors yet.
No, but that's definitely the question I get asked the most is, who is your team? And I haven't chosen one. And I'm not just saying that because, I'm trying to be politically correct or anything. But I really am just enjoying the league right now and learning some of the little nuances and trying to pick up on a few of those things. And it's been enjoyable. And as I said, some of the people I've come in contact with on Twitter and so forth, they've been very helpful in terms of helping me figure some things out. Like I just learned the difference between a field corner and a boundary corner. So that was kind of helpful. And then learned a little more about the no yards thing. So still learning some of that kind of stuff. But as in terms of the entertainment value of the game, I'm just enjoying that overall. And not sure when or if I'll pick a team.
Well, I will say this. We had a good friend by the name of Joe Lazito. Look him up. Joseph Lazzito from on social media. You'll find him. Just a few. He's a hero in the New York area, a literal hero. Actually, Google him and you'll read more. But he was trying to pick a team and he chose the Riders and he did not. That did not disappoint him. I would say for your sake, with the steel curtain, black and gold, the Hamilton Tiger Cats would be a very good fit for Chuck. Clearly, the Hamilton fans must have made that. That's Canada's steel town, and you live in America's steel town. Am I right?
The Hamilton fans have been recruiting me very hard, for sure. And I would say, besides them, I would say Toronto has been recruiting, quote unquote, pretty hard, as well as the Rider fans and the Bomber fans. Now, from what I understand, and even people who aren't necessarily Rider fans have told me this, that they have the best fan base in the CFL. So, and I feel like that might be true just because of some of the things I've seen and read. But yeah, you're right about the Hamilton thing. It's the closest CFL city to me, for one thing. So logistically, if I want to follow a team, it just makes more sense that I can get there fairly easily. Toronto is kind of in the same boat because it's not that much further than Hamilton. But and Hamilton definitely does have that sort of blue collar Steel City kind of vibe that I'm used to. So yeah, I could lean that way, but not choosing upsides just yet.
Well, I will tell you this, and I've been everywhere. There is no franchise whose fans and the team are as intertwined as closely as the Saskatchewan Roughriders and the people of Saskatchewan. I can tell you that as a team that's been around since 1910, there isn't. And I'd be more than willing to have a coffee when I come to Pittsburgh and discuss that. My niece, has committed to Robert Morris University. She's a hockey player beginning in a couple of years. Yeah, so I will be making my way down there, Chuck, and I will buy a coffee. I'll even maybe bring you a Tim's. But do you know enough about the CFL in this time since jumping on board to vote on our poll, for instance? Like, who would be the top quarterback of the 2010s? Have you gone back and would you be able to answer that question?
It would be very unfair for me to answer that question. I'd not seen any games that Henry Burris played. I did see there was a replay of a game on the other night that I picked up on ESPN Plus that showed one of Ricky Ray's games with the Argos. Have seen Bo Levi Mitchell a couple times on television. So, I mean, clearly they're all very talented and very successful. I wouldn't want to have to pick. So maybe it's ignorance is bliss in this case. I don't have to, put my neck out there and pick one of those guys.
Well, listen, sooner or later, you're going to have to. And I'm talking about pick a team. The people are not going to stand for this, right? They're going to want to know your team, Chuck. So are you going to have a reveal? Boy, that would be cool. That would be cool. If you had a team reveal, what do you think about that? Are you going to at some point pick a team?
You know, I made the comment to somebody else that I feel like the five-star high school quarterback that has all the big colleges coming after him. I could set myself up a little table with all the hats on it and, maybe pretend to put one on and pick another one. And it could be a big deal. But this, we could get all of Canada in on this, maybe.
Signing day.
Like signing day.
For Chuck Curtai. Yes, I love it.
Absolutely.
So where can people follow your stuff, Chuck, and what can they expect?
Well, I made I ended up making a separate account just for my CFL fix because I ended up having all these, and it's kind of a long story, but I had all these Canadian football fans end up following me on my professional account that I have for the newspaper. So I made a different account so I could strictly do CFL related things. It's at Curtai, C-U-R-T-I, Chuck. That's my handle. And any CFL discussion, I welcome it. Anything anybody can teach me, I welcome that. And hey, I've been offered tickets and spots at tailgate parties and swag. And, hey, bring it on. I'm enjoying the recruiting process.
Well, let me ask you this. What have you been told is the best game day experience? Somebody must have told you. If you get a, are they saying if you're picking one venue to go to, where's the can't miss? Has somebody told you where you should go?
I have had several people tell me any Riders Bombers game is good to go to in either place, really. And I've heard good things about the Labor Day battle between the Argonauts and the Ticats as well. So again, logistically, if I can make the Labor Day game in you know, either Toronto or Hamilton, that might be something to see. So I'm hoping to get out that way and in Western Canada, cross some things off my CFL bucket list out there as well. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that we can get out there one of these days.
Well, I tell you what, if you you could time it right, hit three cities in a weekend in the West would be pretty cool. So, Chuck, let me say this. One of our viewers, Don McNeil, says you should do a lottery, spin a wheel, and then you insult no one. Would you consider that?
Well, yeah, I guess no one could yell at me that way, and I wouldn't be banished from certain cities, I suppose.
Well, that's never bothered me from, you know, it doesn't never scared me off, but I wouldn't speak for you. Chuck, thanks for this. I appreciate the time. You speak very well, look great. Look forward to reading your stuff, and glad to have you in the realm of CFL fandom.
All right, well, thank you, guys. And Robert Morris is only about a half hour from where I live, so whenever you come down, let me know.
Perfect. Love it. Thank you, Chuck.
All right, take care.
Chuck Kurtai from Pittsburgh, the River City.
Yeah.
As they say.
Place I've never been.
No, me either, but I will be going, obviously, to go watch my niece. We've already set it all up, my brother and I. The year that the NHL draft was in Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, I didn't go. And my dad came back and said it was the greatest. He loved it, too. Had all these wonderful pictures. The best CFL home venue for games is an unwinnable argument, right? If you were to have some sort of bracket or a contest, because everybody's going to vote for their own team.
Yeah.
But I can say this with all heart, every cell in my body will tell you that every one is great. Every one. For their own reasons. I mean, BMO's a lot better since they moved out of Rogers Center.
Mm-hmm.
When I started going there with the Riders, it was Skydome. But, well, just think of this for a second. I made a thermos of coffee. It was 1999. It was Skydome at the time, and the Riders were staying in the Skydome Hotel. And the morning of the game, I just took my thermos of coffee, and I went through everywhere. Like, I went through everywhere. You've seen me work, right? Like, talk my way past security. It's like an episode of Animal Kingdom. You know what I mean? Talking my way in.
Yes.
So I saw every...
Where do you think I get it from?
Every nook and cranny of Skydome I saw. Now, the game kicked off, and there were 13,000 people there. That part sucked. But to have been a child of the 80s and then the early 90s Blue Jays, to see that was really cool. Mm-hmm. But now moving to BMO, where you got the vision of downtown in the background. You're on the shores of Lake Ontario. It doesn't get much better. And people think that, you know, people always laugh at the Argos. And it's like, it's not laughable, man. Go. If they could ever fill that place, which I do believe they will, and they're on the right track with pinball, I don't doubt. But Hamilton, obviously great. It's the centerpiece of the city.
Yep.
They're the number one game in town. McGill and Montreal is as good as anywhere when it's rocking. When it's rocking.
Yeah.
But I've called games in Olympic Stadium, too, and they're awesome. But the problem was there weren't 60,000 people there. Although I've been there for a Grey Cup, highest attended Grey Cup of all time, and that was cool.
Wow.
And I haven't even got to the West yet. And I'll say something about Winnipeg. I was thinking about this the other day and how I find it real cute that the people in Winnipeg, some people in Winnipeg, have really become fans of this show. Sending gear in, for goodness sakes. The Blue Bombers texted me the other day and said, nice shirt. Right?
Yeah.
This is what I respect about Winnipeg and why I this Calgary thing, us getting along, may never work. You go into Winnipeg as the visitor, it's 97% blue in the stadium. They will stab you right in the front. We don't like you. We don't want you here. We're going to make your whole day miserable, and you're going to know it, and we're going to kick your ass and send you home. And a lot of times, they did. But I respected the hell out of that because they were honest. Not where Calgary. It's like, come on in. How's it going? Been a long time. What's new? Bah, 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 bah. And then when you turn, brr! Just be real. I respect that about Winnipeg.
Yeah. You know what you're going to get. When
you know what you're going to get.
You know exactly what you're going to get.
It's going to be a long day. Get ready.
When the ball snaps, though, and you're watching the play, you could be in any stadium. It's football. And it's awesome. But it's all the stadium. When you're between plays, like you said, in Toronto, can see downtown. And your experience is not just, you know, in the stadium on game day either. I mean, in Saskatchewan, It used to be walking up. We used to have, you know, people in their backyards with hot dogs, selling hot dogs and Smokies on the street. You know, you got the great tailgate parties now that we've got, you know, two really good tailgate parties everybody can enjoy. Toronto, you get to be around downtown Toronto and experience all of those things. In Calgary, they have more real tailgating where fans have tents up and you make the lap around the stadium. So they're all different in their own way and they all have a unique experience. And that's why it's cool to go to different places. Same thing in the NFL. I mean, Nashville was great, but it completely different than, you know, when I went to Oakland to watch them play, and completely different from Houston, and they're all good.
They're all good. Exactly. Yeah. Lauren Goldenberg's watching from Pennsylvania. He says Rogers Center was a great place for football when it was filled. 2012 Grey Cup, 1991 Argos home opener with a rocket. It's about the fans. No fans, no intensity, for sure. And Robert Kazakov says, is Gaynor unbanned in Calgary? Oh, is that a hell of a story? And that's, who do you think started that whole thing? I remember I was sitting, I used to have a desk at Taylor Field. That's how much time I spent there and how much work I did there. So I remember Gaynor was standing right beside me. Is the statute of limitations gone? And I'll make this fast. But Gaynor was standing beside me. I'm trying to remember how this worked. And he pulled out his phone and he just showed me a text that he had that he was not going to be welcome in Calgary for the playoff game upcoming.
Right.
And I said, do you mind if I publicize this? He's, go ahead. Because Gaynor doesn't talk, right? He's, go ahead.
Shrugged, yeah.
So all of a sudden, I don't know if I put it on Twitter. I might have put it on my website. Or somehow I got the word out there. And it, you remember it, right?
Oh,
it,
yeah.
To use a Henry Burris team, it was a term. It was a shabakaling. How dare you not invite, how you tell our mascot that he's not invited? It became such a huge story that I remember sitting in the lunchroom at the radio station looking up at the television and CTV Newsnet, CBC News Channel. They were all talking with Gaynor, banned from McMahon Stadium. And I'm just like, my God, how fast this has taken off. All the Ryder Gaynor merchandise cleared the shelves. Everybody wanted to support Gaynor, blah, blah, blah. And I remember talking to Gaynor, and it's like he wanted to go to the game and just be standing outside looking through a crack in the stadium. Or rattle the doors, right? And I remember getting in so much trouble from the writers going, why do you stir this stuff up all the time? It's been a headache for us. And I'm like, I think this is good. No, it's a pain in our ass. At the time, I think it was 05. I'd have to check the dates on. No, it was after that because Hobson was in charge. Anyways, we go to Calgary. Maybe it was 06. And we're in an SUV. And I'm with Hobson. And Jim Barker comes. And my wife was with me. Jim Hobson is in there, and Jim Barker jumps in. And before he even puts a seatbelt on, he's like, isn't this Gaynor thing great? And Jim Hobson was like, why? Right? He's like, totally distracted from the game. It's fun. And I think Hoppy started to see that side of it. But all of it was a pain for the Riders because every national news outlet wanted to talk to Gaynor and talk to the team and get a statement. And it all came from one little text from Gaynor to me. What do you think of this?
Makes people want to work.
I guess.
Right.
I know. They didn't like it. I never could figure out why they didn't like it. Anyways, next hour, Lee Steinberg, the original super agent, the man that Jerry Maguire was patterned after. Lee Steinberg will join us from Newport Beach, California. And Joe Wetbread of the Red Deer Rebels. We're having a lot of fun on this Thursday, as we told you we would. Canada's Morning Sports Talk Show continues after this on Facebook Live, Game Plus TV Network, Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, CastBox, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, Rod Squad, now you can join the team with your very own RP Show gear. Head to rodpetersonshop.com and get yours today while supplies last. It's just like we wear on the show, official RP Show gear at rodpetersonshop.com.
You need to adapt and you need to move forward. You can't be stuck in 1920. Direct West is on the top of their game. They know what they're doing, how they're doing it, and when you work with Direct West, things are good. There's no going backwards, they're moving forward. My business would not be where it is today without the help of Direct West to help me with my website and my Facebook and all my online presence. I've worked with Direct West for about 10 years, and it's been a great experience.
Celebrate the 5th anniversary with friends, family, everyone you know. Plan your next group experience with your Saskatchewan Rush. Group benefits include block seating, ticket discounts, and a dedicated fan experience coordinator. For more, visit saskrush.com/groupnightout.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.